the OTB Podcast Network.
I'm delighted to say David Harity, the Kildare hurling manager, former Kilkenny hurler, is with us this morning. David, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, Jerry, and yourself?
Yeah, good. Look, we wanted to chat to you about the competition scenario that you guys find yourselves in with the Kildare hurlers at the moment, because I think one of the big successes of last year was the fact that the Joe McDonagh final was on All-Ireland Final Day. Loads of people tuned in. The game got analysed to death, as we've all now famously heard about by Don Logue on the day itself. But there was clearly a benefit for Kerry and Antrim being involved in a high-profile game like that, and we've seen Antrim roll on to this season. So the scenario this year isn't quite as promising for teams in your division in hurling. Is that fair?
Well, look, it's the Joe McDonagh final is still going to be on July 17th, which is the Leinster final day. So it's still going to get one of the major days in the year. So I think anyone who gets to the final that day won't care that it's on before Leinster final or an All-Ireland semi-final. Ideally, they'd love it if it was on the same weekend as an All-Ireland. But I think if they get into the final with a chance of going up into the Liam McCarthy, I think any team or any of the managements there would be happy enough.
It does mean, though, that there's a little bit less focus on the competition this year. And the fact that it's on earlier would suggest that there are fewer games. And I think maybe that's the problem, is it?
Now, that's one disappointment, all right. Yeah, like, you know, there's two groups of three. You get two games over the space of 13 days. And, you know, for some of the teams, they'll have two games within 7 days, and that's it. And that's pretty much the competition over. So that, I suppose, that element of it is extremely disappointing. Like, everything is very much crammed in. Like, Joe McDonagh, on a normal year, you get five games, you get a chance then to really experience, especially from ourselves being promoted, to get a great run out against five other teams and see where you're at the end of the campaign. It is a little bit shotgun, all right, in that scenario, that you finish up your league 13 days later, you're out against Carlow. Again, we're lucky enough, we have a week off and then we play Westmeath. So it is very, very quick of a runoff that way. And yeah, for the amount of training that people have done, to have it out of the way that quickly is a little bit disappointing. Then again, if you look at the footballers, they have a once-off match. So I'm sure some of them would love to have the two games. Again, in hurling, it could be the exact same if things don't go well in your Leinster or Munster campaign. So we can't have too many complaints. It's the same for everyone this year. And we understand, hopefully, then next year that everything will be back to normal. So you have to get up and get on with it.
Yeah, it does seem to be one of the only things that have changed, though, from last year, David. Like, I mean, the footballers, maybe they might not be overly happy with their championship structure, but at least it's the same as last year. When it comes to the Tier 1 hurling counties, it's the same as last year. But it just seems that when it comes to outside of Liam McCarthy and hurling, that seems to be the only thing that the GAA have actually shortened and condensed.
Yeah, it has. And I suppose if you were to raise these questions anywhere, they'll just tell you that they can't fit you in anywhere else in the calendar, that they're completely booked up. So you can spend all your time getting focused in on the lack of promotion or go down an avenue like that, or else you just concentrate on what you're doing and realise that instead of having five games to try and get to a final, you have two. We focus on the positives and you just try and get on with it that way.
Because Fintan O'Connor, the Kerry manager, came out a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure did he see his comments and wasn't best pleased, I think it's fair to say. He was saying that everyone's discussing what we can do to help counties bridge the gap between Tier 1 and Tier 2. But in hurling, there is a Super League and the other counties are kind of left behind. We definitely have a Super League in hurling, and it's definitely at the expense of counties like Kerry that don't get to play as much at that level. Now, he's probably doubly frustrated considering had things gone differently against Antrim last year, they might be playing at Liam McCarthy hurling. And I know from your perspective, it's been very much on the upward trajectory since last year. But is there that sense that prevails in hurling at times, that maybe there's not enough to actually try and make an effort to close that gap?
Well, like if we look at our Christy Ring campaign there last year, when the new competition structure came out, we were told we're playing Offaly in a once-off game and the loser that is out and that's it. And only for, I suppose, we kicked up a small bit of a fuss with it at the time and kind of said that it's not on for lads that have trained for 9 months to get one game in October. Wasn't right. And then we got a backdoor system and, you know, thankfully we had a very successful year anyway. Now we came through the front door the way things came and we ended up winning and getting promoted. But there was a chance there that competition with just six teams in it was just going to be run off in a once-off game, a quarter-final, semi-final and final, and be gone in 3 weeks, which made absolutely no sense after all the work that was put in. So I think with some of these things that, now again, I didn't hear Fintan's comments, but sometimes if you don't say anything all of a sudden they kind of see the, it can be put across as, yeah, everything's okay here and we'll go on as normal there, lads. So, you know, we raised this fact last year. We got a back door, or the back door was introduced. Counties got themselves an extra few games and then, you know, got that extra bit of experience. This year it's disappointing, but again, if anyone turns around, you know, if you were to say to anyone this year, well, if you win your two games, you have a final, so you have three games. So, you know, they could say you have three games rather than five games. Considering that it's COVID and the year that's in it, you know, it's not the worst case scenario.
I know you're saying that obviously you've got to put a positive spin on it, and that's you as a manager having to speak like that. I do wonder, like, you know, in private conversations, and I'm not asking you to betray any confidences here, but, you know, you, Michael Fenley, even Darren Gleeson, there's a much higher profile of manager at your level at the moment who are building great careers at a level that maybe in the past we wouldn't have had All-Ireland winners who have been as successful as you guys being in the forefront and being able to speak knowledgeably about hurling at all levels. I guess what I'm trying to get to here is that, do you feel a leadership role as well within the sport of hurling that is kind of separate to being the Kildare manager, or an opportunity at some point to try and reshape this in the future so that counties like Kerry, like Kildare, like Antrim aren't left behind?
Yeah, I think there are easy enough ways of trying to promote the counties at the lower levels as well. Like, even the draw was made behind closed doors at some stage throughout that week, whereas the Leinster draw was made on a, you know, live on RTE that morning. And I don't think it would have taken a whole lot of extra time just to spend an extra 10 minutes doing out the draw and giving that bit of extra promotion rather than just being released in an email later on that day that we happened to just get at 5 o'clock. I think it was on a Wednesday. So there is a lot, there's just, it can be extremely easy to try and give an extra bit of promotion to the counties at the lower levels. And again, then I think if you put that effort, sure that the second tier teams aren't as afraid that they'll just be left behind. Like I said there last year, there was a huge amount of disgust down with the Christy Ring teams when all of a sudden this was thrown out, and all of a sudden it was a case of you have one game and that's it. It's quarter final, semi final, and final. And behind the scenes, you know, I was chatting away to the different managers. You know, they probably won't want their names mentioned. We were probably the most vocal out of them all, because I suppose the draw that we got was awfully, and it was just a simple case of just get up and get on with it. You have a chance, and I think if you lose, you'll have a relegation final. So there's your two matches. But things thankfully changed around that way. But it is a case, as I said, I didn't hear Fintan a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes as well, if you bark and you get what you want, which we did last year, and you tend to bark again, well, then you just become a noise. So we left it off. We're happy enough to be up in Joe McDonagh this year and the way things are going. And we'll keep our kind of, I suppose, that is further down the way that the whole structure is this year. Like the 2B, it's you just have to focus in, and we have to focus in on the 2B league that will be starting from this weekend onwards. We can't get into that scenario where we're focusing on Joe McDonagh, because you're getting sidetracked. The likes of Kerry probably can, because they'll have a comfortable enough 2A campaign and then be able to head into their Joe McDonagh. So it's there's a lot of extra problems, I suppose, a lot of pressures already on teams rather than focusing in on things you probably won't be able to change.
People are going to point to Antrim's victory against Clare at the weekend and go, oh, the system works. Look, you've got mobility from one lower tier to the higher tier, and then they can live there. But I don't think we can all sit back and go, geez, hurling is perfect because Antrim beat Clare at the weekend.
No, it's not. And Antrim, I think anyone that has been following Antrim knows the huge work Darren Gleeson is doing up there. And, you know, you're not at all surprised. I know last year they got, I thought wrongly they got slated on they probably had their worst performance today in Croke Park in the Joe McDonagh final, and yes, got slated afterwards. They're doing phenomenal work up there, and anyone who has played them in challenge matches will know that they are kind of a step ahead and they are bridging that gap. And I'd expect them to pick up another couple of results in the rest of the 1B campaign. Darren is doing a very good job. He's got full commitment in there. And I think a lot of the development counties, in order for them to bridge that gap, it's not just going to be a simple case of you have extra games. You need to get your house in order. And just on the Kildare point of view, like, we have huge buy-in now from the club scene. In certain counties, you'll probably find that, and you'll often hear that lads from a certain club aren't coming in and they're not making themselves available for the county teams. So they're already down a few players. We're delighted that we've full access to the players from the clubs. They've been excellent in Kildare, but also then you have to have the development structures in place. Kildare have a minor team that's now competing at A level. They have an under 20 team that started back training last night for the first time ever, like as a proper team. Like they've been back since January doing their strength and conditioning program, but they'll actually have a proper training schedule going into the first A championship. And I think if you get those things right, well, then you can start bridging the gaps with some of these Liam McCarthy teams. But there's thrown in an extra three games and you don't have your proper structures or proper commitment from the clubs, you're at nothing there.
There's always been the sense, David, that Kildare is a little bit of a sleeping giant at the moment when it comes to football, at least, just because of the population and, I guess, past glories. Are you finding the same thing in hurling at the moment, that there is a lot of untapped potential in the county?
There are, yeah. But the work that Owen Stapleton and then Pat English now with the under-20s are putting it on at underage. Like I said, look, if you look back to Kilkenny and why everyone talks about it, they had a conveyor belt coming through for years from minor to under 21 success, and that was leading into the senior success. You need that in any of the counties, and I know that the likes of Down, Antrim, Derry, some of the development counties there that are coming through. Like if you look at Offaly, Westmeath, why they have the potential to bridge those gaps is because they have under 21 teams or under 20 teams. So you just have to make sure that you get that in place first of all. You have to, because otherwise you have minors coming from 17, 18 years of age. They've done no strength and conditioning then for those 3 years, and then all of a sudden they're thrown into a senior squad and they're underdeveloped. And you can see then when they go out against those Liam McCarthy teams that they're just completely blown away. So, you know, things that I believe Kildare has a massive opportunity. I think this year is even, I said it to lads last year at the end of it, I think it's on a kind of a cliff edge. If we get full commitment again this year, I think there's massive potential to try and get promotion again in 2B, which is a massive aim for us, and then again try and bring things on in Joe McDonagh. And I think with the clubs that are there, with the hurling community that's there, it's small but it's a powerful hurling community in Kildare, I think wonderful things can happen over the next few years, especially with that structure that's coming through.
Can I ask you about the rule changes then, just David, to finish up here? What did you make watching the games last weekend, particularly about the advantage rule?
I thought it was shocking. I can't get my head around it. We had a referee in last Friday for an in-house game, and as he was explaining it, I think everyone had a fair idea what was happening for the goal, for the penalties, and understood the rules. But coming out of the fence where it's just blown up the way it is, I still can't get my head around how that's of any advantage to slow things up. It's all it is going to slow up the game. If you're playing against a stronger team, you're going to bring your forward out from full forward back to maybe 40 yards out from his old goal line, and you're just going to spend a minute and a half there trying to stand over a free and then back in again. It's going to slow up the game hugely. I don't see why that rule was changed. I understand the whole drag down heading in for goal makes perfect sense. It's stopping goal opportunities, especially if you're behind and you're being dragged to the ground. But coming out of the fence, I think it's going to kill the game. I haven't heard one positive comment about the whole thing. And even talking to the ref that we were talking about, he couldn't honestly understand why it was put in place. But that's it. They'll obey the rules. They'll do what they're doing. I'm sure some teams will find a loophole in it and try and be able to work quicker passage of play or try and get that ball going as quick as they possibly can. But it makes no sense in hurling to have a rule like that to slow up the play. It was a perfect rule. Sort out the penalty situation, brilliant, but you know, leave the backs alone to work themselves out.
It kind of invites some cynicism where you stand over the type of shithousery you see from like good Spanish football teams or Jose Mourinho's Porto, for example. You stand over a free and all of a sudden it's like, well, you just scored that, but you're going to miss this one. Like, not a great spectacle.
No, it's going to... I think it's going to put a huge amount of pressure on referees, even there on Sunday. You know, that you're nearly getting into the VAR situation there where you're like, yeah, he was dragged back, but there were still three defenders there. You know, that's just up front the side of things. Like, it's going to cause a lot of confusion. It all comes down to the ref on the day. it's going to be extremely interesting. I can see a lot of management getting sent in line as well, venting their frustration. and that's one of the things that is coming up. That it's obviously if you give out to the referee now, it's a yellow card. If you get a second one, it's a red card up into the stand. But coming out of the fence, if you have a chance of a lad, he's just outside, and at the end of the game, you know, you want that quick ball going in. It's killing the momentum of it. I can see it. There is that potential. There's a 2-week gap in between the league and the championship. I don't know whether if there's such a backlash there that they might review it again. But because everything is coming so quick and fast, and that's with everything with injuries. If you pick up an injury, you've nearly missed half your campaign. It's going to be difficult for them to change a rule halfway through in that 14-day between league and championship.
Yeah, no, it definitely will be. And look, maybe it comes in now and we never have to deal with it again, because the reaction has been so negative from the get-go that it'll get thrown out as soon as it possibly can do. One last thing then, David. You mentioned about you bark once and you get changed. If you bark a second time, you get a reputation. Like, is there a window for you guys and your generation to actually be more centrally involved and shape the future in a more meaningful way that doesn't just sound like it's complaining, that actually people will listen to you and Mick Fenley and Gleeson because of the profile that you guys have, that there is an actual... there is an opportunity for you to get in and shape what the future looks like?
Yeah, look, there is a possibility about that. There's, I think, and the big thing, what we were kind of met with a lot last year when we were trying to complain about the fact that there could have been just a once-off game in the Christie Ring, was just the fact that it's unusual times and it's uncertain times and it's COVID. So I think this year, no matter what happens at the end of this year, it'll be put off and everything will be put down to COVID. I think in 2022, there's a chance of a clean slate when the actual fixtures are brought out, or when you'd hope they sit down to sort out these fixtures at the start of the year, that there, a bit of common sense is used and that there is someone in there from the development counties to be able to kind of bit of kick up a fuss rather than just accepting what's going on. One management won't do it. It does need to come from a collective group and try and get the management together at that level to try and kick up some bit of a fuss, whether it's at Christie Ring or Joe McDonough, and try and actually say, we want at least 5 weeks if this is to be taken serious, and get together that way. And then maybe rather than just having once off, you know, managers coming out and saying something and then it's just brushed under the carpet because something else has come up. It does need to get the managements together and try and demand something. Higher profile games, more games, to try and give these teams a chance to actually bridge that gap.
Yeah, and the point you made earlier on about all the clubs rowing in, like, it probably, for people from power counties, from the Super League, don't really understand that, because, you know, everybody always wants to play for those counties because that's the whole point of playing in the first place for many people who reach that level. But actually the split season is going to work really well for counties like Kildare and Laois, for example, where you'll have a season, everybody will play their club season hopefully well, everybody will know who the best hurlers in the county are, and then there'll be nothing for them to do except play for their counties.
Yeah, it has been brilliant, even going back, looking for, you know, again, a few years ago where we were at, we were struggling to make a panel. But now, unfortunately, there on Saturday, I had to ask 11 lads not to go forward with us into the 35. Like, the amount of players that are there available now at the moment, because of the split season, it's a far more attractive offer when you're going to a lad who might not, I suppose, played for the last couple of years with the county team. But now you're inviting them back in again and saying, look, it's a 5-month gig basically, and you know, you still get a chance. They are extremely passionate about their clubs in Kildare. There's a huge rivalry within it, and that is one of the things, I suppose, the initial 2 years where we kind of met a little bit of resistance was the fact that lads said, I want to play with my club, I want to win the county title with my club. And now that has the split season, it has been brilliant to be able to go up to a player, and we would have spoken before, anyone I've asked to come in onto the panel this year has all said yes. So it just shows that there is a huge shift, and I think that could be a massive boost in for any development counties. Like you say, anyone in Lee McCarthy will already have the best players, but definitely in the development counties you see better players coming in the whole time, and the standard is raising. It's just a matter of trying to, obviously, like I said, put the structures in place that is continuing all the way through.
All right, David, good stuff. Best of luck this weekend against Donegal too. Cheers.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Gerard.
David Herdy, always good to talk to him and get his views on that. It sounds like maybe the tide is turning a little bit on.
Yeah, like, I definitely think last year was a really positive moment for non-top tier counties, the All-Ireland final day, having the Joe McDonagh Cup there. Even the fact that we are talking about Donal Logue's comments about Antrim this week shows that that Antrim conversation was actually in the spotlight last year. Like, it may be painted as a negative thing for some Antrim dyed-in-the-wool hurling fans, but it was great that there was controversy around the Joe McDonagh Cup final. It was because it was in the spotlight. It was because it was on All-Ireland final day. To be honest with you, I actually didn't necessarily buy this whole thing about All-Ireland football final day, for example, and Tailteann Cup being a great shop window. I thought it might actually get overshadowed. I think last year that was disproven in the hurling, because the Joe McDonagh Cup final got a great audience and it got great conversation even on social media throughout and on the analysis that night.
I think as well the fact that the minor is no longer under 18, it's like, well, we can watch these kids play and put them under all that pressure, or actually we can watch the second tier competition have their day in the sun, and which of these is genuinely the right thing to do. No doubt the minor final will still be televised, but if it was on a Friday night, or if it was on a Saturday afternoon, and if it was on TG Car, wouldn't that be the best thing?
Yeah, like, definitely. Like, I definitely think that the minor has clearly dropped the standard since it's gone to 17. Every year is so vital at that age. But, like, I think that the GAA to not see what happened last December with the Joe McDonagh Cup and just to not copy and paste it this year is just such a strange thing to do. There may be reasons here that we're not sure of, but, like, it worked. Like, very few things have actually gone well for people during COVID, but the Joe McDonagh Cup final, it's one of those things that worked. Why did they get rid of that on that day? And, like, yes, it's on Leinster final day. It'll be in Croke Park, I presume, if it's on Leinster final day. Like, that is good. That is positive. But it's even better if it's on All-Ireland final day. So I just don't know why that was.
It's true. And those extra weeks that the teams play and train in summer, the difference between Leinster final and All-Ireland final, like, the team progresses so much more in those 3 or 4 weeks. The standard will go up again. So, anyway, look, you hope that next year they get all the games they need and they get the investment that they require and they get the attention that they require as well. So that's that chat for you this morning at 40 minutes past 8, so 20 to 9. OTBAM live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Give me the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Kevin Cronin says, breach of rules is breach of rules. Simple as that, but most of them are surely training on Zoom. Brian Kennedy says, talk about dodging a question. Just say yes, Owen. Kevin Cronin says, you should be a politician, Owen.
Well, it's a complicated one. There's nuance to this. I actually don't know the answer to the question, so I couldn't just say yes.
You can just say yes or no.
I don't know is the honest answer.
John Duggan, good morning to you.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.